Falcons and Commanders tomorrow, 1 o'clock kick at Mercedes-Benz, right here on 92.9 The Game. It all gets started with the Wade Ford Tailgate Show, starting at 9, pregame at 11, kick at 1, postgame show, and then yours truly on the Falcons flyover, the first spot. E, you with me tomorrow? I think you are, right? Yeah, all right. So me and E, tomorrow on the flyover, taking your calls, win or lose, to get a better insight on what may happen. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Welcome in our buddy Toby Allister from 106.7 The Fan in D.C. Toby, let's start here. What did you see from Marcus Mariota last week that allowed him to have success with the offense?
Yeah, I think Cliff Kingsbury did a really good job of putting together a game plan that really focused on his running ability and kind of doing read option sort of thing. So he had to make reads in that sense in terms of his ability to get through progressions. He didn't really have to do a whole lot in the passing game. I think there were really only a couple of throws where you'd say, okay, Mariota went through his process and was able to get to the second or third read, make a nice throw. His actual best throw of the day was almost intercepted because it hit Debo right in the middle of the in his chest, right over the middle of the field, and bounced up in the air. But that was probably his best throw of the day. Outside of that, stuff was kind of open for him. So I think for Mariota, you know, his ability just in ability to run and Cliff Kingsbury's ability to make it real easy for him, the picture real easy for him, I think those played together. And I think we saw a similar thing last year, and he's able to process things well. And I think what you're seeing is a guy that just fits perfectly in what Cliff Kingsbury asked him to do.
Without Terry McLaurin available, what are going to be the primary options for him?
Yeah, I think Debo is going to get a lot of work. You saw this last week where they were just finding different ways to get him the football. Even opening kickoff, he took back to the 27-yard line of the Raiders. And, you know, just in special teams in different ways, they're going to try to get him the football. And you saw this in end-arounds. You saw screens. And the numbers overall on offense weren't impressive, but just getting him the football any way possible, even if it is in the kick return game, I think Debo is going to be their main option. Zach Ertz will kind of be that middle of the field security blanket. But that's a big question we have here, frankly, is the running backs. It's kind of by committee. We all love Ja'Cory Cross-Kiemerit. We know him as Bill out here, seventh rounder out of Arizona, had a weird thing. He's probably more of a early day three, maybe late day two kind of pick if he's able to play his college football season last year. And you'll see some of that electricity that he has when he gets the football, but he hasn't run the ball a ton at each of these games. The most carries he's gotten in a game is 10. Last week, Chris Rodriguez handled the ball 11 times, and he wasn't even active the first two games of the season. So I honestly don't know. Jalen Lane, a rookie out of Virginia Tech, the fourth rounder, he was the rookie of the week after he had a 90-yard punt return last week, so he's electric with the ball in his hands, but I'm not sure how he's evolved as a route runner just yet. Luke McCaffrey's been a bit of a disappointment third rounder from last year. He had his first touchdown of his career last week, but that was more of a bust in coverage than anything impressive that he did. And Chris Moore has kind of filled in, just a veteran who's been all around the league, and he was unimpressive during training camp. The thing that he was most known for was dropping passes, yet he's made a couple of nice plays so far this season. So that's a great question. I think Debo's going to be the answer, and then after Debo, it could be just about anybody.
Talking about Debo, when he first got there, there was a lot of reports about being out of shape and maybe being a malcontent, but it seems like everything is all as well that ends well right now, at least through the first part of the season.
Yeah, it's one of those things, too, where there was a big discussion about Terry and his contract and the holding and all that. Debo's in a contract year as well, and when you get traded out of San Francisco, wanting to go get a fresh start, I think you see a motivated Debo in a lot of ways, and that he understands that he's playing for his next contract. And so he's not giving you a hard time. He had a lot of time to build some of that chemistry with Jaden Daniels during training camp with Terry being out. Obviously, Jaden not playing this Sunday, but he got enough work. And I think you've seen a more motivated Debo that looks more, I wouldn't say he's the 21 Debo that went crazy and was one of the best offensive players in football, but he's more close to that than he was last year's version, where he was slow. And I wasn't a huge fan of bringing him over here for a fifth round pick. It's fine, but then they also kind of guaranteed more of his salary, so he's making $20 million this year, and I'm not a huge fan of that. But you're seeing more of the guy that's incredibly effective versus the guy that's just kind of a little bit of a washed up gadget guy like you saw last season. So they're going to find different ways to get him the football tomorrow, and be intriguing to see how involved he can be on the offense. Because, you know, last week, like I said, his big play was on special teams, but they got on the ball on offense, but he wasn't able to create really any explosive plays.
talking all things Falcons and Commanders right here 1 p.m. tomorrow on 92.9 The Game with our buddy Toby Alitzer from our sister station 106.7 The Fan in D.C. You mentioned Zach Ertz. We know he came over from a Super Bowl winning product. He has a couple stops in the league now, but how has he been in the offense? Is he still a Mr. Reliable type of guy?
He's big time Mr. Reliable, and we joked last year, up until the final couple of games when it got to the playoff push, he was someone that as soon as he caught the ball, he was falling over. He was catch and fall Zach Ertz. But I think we called him No-Yak Zach because he just didn't get any yards after the catch. But he's someone that you can always rely on, and he's actually had a couple of plays this year where he's been able to get some stuff after the catch. But, yeah, third down, you know, third and five, he's your guy, middle of the field. Mariota hit him a couple last week where, you know, gets right to the sticks, turns around, two guys around him. He's able to make the catch in traffic. He's not going to blow you away with speed or anything, but if there's a big play situation where they've got to pick it up, don't be surprised if Zach Ertz is the guy they're looking to.
Speaking of vets, Bobby Wagner and Von Miller on the team, what have you seen from them so far?
Bobby's good when he's coming downhill, playing the run and getting after the passer. There were a couple of plays last week, I think he finished last week with two sacks, a couple of pressures, some different things that they were doing. When he's coming downhill, he looks like the Bobby Wagner that you know. When he's trying to cover guys, it's a little bit different. So he looks old in pass coverage. He looks the same Bobby Wagner when he's playing fast and downhill against the runner, against the pass. And then Von Miller, they don't play him a ton, but in obvious pass situations, you can still see some of that burst. He had a nice rush last week where he's able to long arm the right tackle, DJ Glaze, and really didn't have a chance, got right to the quarterback. He's still got some pass rush juice. He's not the Von Miller that won Super Bowl MVP, obviously, but he's still got some juice. So in obvious pass situations, I think he's still got enough. And honestly, him and Dorrance Armstrong are probably the only two guys off the edge. Dorrance Armstrong has been incredible this year, but those are the only two guys off the edge that you're probably worried about in any sort of pass situation. So, yeah, both of them show their age at times, but there's still some juice left in both those guys.
The one thing the Falcons have not been able to do almost virtually at all is get the ball down the field with Michael Penix Jr., surprisingly enough, considering how strong his arm is. What's the state of the secondary? Could he be able to finally unleash it?
Well, so they're without one of their starting safeties. Will Harris is someone they brought in from New Orleans in the offseason to fill in for Jeremy Chinn. He broke his fibula last week, so he's out. So I think Jeremy Reeves, who's generally a special teams guy, he's actually played really well when he's had to step in as a strong safety this year. So he's probably going to get more snaps in that role. So maybe you can take advantage of that. But the corner room is interesting. It's been up and down. Trey Amos, the rookie, second-rounder Ole Miss, has probably been their best starting corner so far. Mikey Sanders still had a really good year last year as a rookie, but he's kind of struggled as he's gone from outside back to inside. He started his career in the slot, moved outside last year after there were some injuries and just lack of overall talent out there, and he played well at the end of last year as an outside guy. Now he's back inside, struggling a little bit. And Marshawn Lattimore, I mean, you guys are familiar with him, but he's kind of, I don't know that he's the Marshawn Lattimore that you're used to anymore. He's incredibly physical, which he's always been, but he's incredibly physical and a lot of times out of position, so he ends up with a lot of flags. I wouldn't be surprised to see them try to do that against Washington because Washington likes to play man. They like to bring an extra guy, so they could probably push the ball down the field, but honestly, if you try it against Sanders still or Lattimore, you might have some success, but it's crazy to say a rookie just in his fourth or fifth game, but Trey Amos is probably the guy you don't want to test. He's just got such natural abilities. You'll see it if he throws the ball down the field. He's just got ball instinct. They haven't had a turnover, so he hasn't been able to get his hands on an interception yet. But in his ability to just stay stride for stride with guys and play the right technique and bat the ball away, he's been really impressive.
If this game was against, let's say, Philadelphia, would Jaden Daniels have played?
Oh, that's a tough one. I think that if this were a playoff game, there would have been a much more realistic discussion about him getting on the field. But I think, I don't know how much you factor in what Mariota looked like last week against the Raiders and all those things, but I do think they're trying to be extra cautious. This regime obviously wasn't here with RG3, but so many fans are drawing that parallel, and Washington fans are just so scarred from that you don't want to have that repeat. So I think they're trying to be extra careful early in the season. I can't definitively say that, yes, he would have played. I think there maybe is a little bit more than they're letting on. But at the same point, you know, if this were a playoff game, I think You know, Jaden's been pushing behind the scenes to get on the field. According to Dan Quinn, the doctors didn't clear him. So maybe it's still a no, but I think there would have been a much higher likelihood, you're right, if it were against a divisional opponent in Week 18 or something like that to make the playoffs.
Before I let you go, while I have you here, we're about a week away from some preseason basketball getting started, which is crazy to think about. Is there any heightened expectation for Washington this season after the offseason and a couple of high draft picks?
I wish. I wish there was. No, there's not. I think, you know, it's funny how the Wizards are. From the outside, I can understand where it's like, do the Wizards ever do anything? They're just so irrelevant. And it's largely true. But I think for a lot of people in the area, it's something where they were irrelevant for a long time. But then they finally, just a couple of years ago, brought in a new front office that people are on board with. So while this team's been irrelevant for 6-7 years, in reality, for the people out here, you're looking at it as, okay, we have hope after the last 2 to 3 years. And so, you know, I think fans had a little bit more regained patience after they made that move. But out here, they're thrilled about Trey Johnson, the rookie they took out of Texas. They're thrilled about what he's shown. They're going to be without one of their young guys, Koulibaly, to start the year. But, yeah, I think I don't know that there's expectations for them to be any better this year. We'd love to see them win some basketball games. But I think there is at least – hope and a trust in what this front office is doing to kind of build this thing to eventually get back to a point where it does matter and you do care about whether the Wizards win or lose.
What did you see from Alex Sarr? He was the other player that the Hawks actually were considering drafting. What was his overall season?
Yeah, it was interesting. It was up and down. The play strength was a big question coming in, and you saw that. His defensive ability, though, and his fluidity on that end of the floor is really, really impressive. There was a month of December where it was everything you dreamed of, where he had a high efficiency shooting the basketball from outside. He was better inside. I think he maybe only scored about 10 to 12 points in that month, but it was more efficient and more of what you dreamed of. But his ability to impact the game defensively is everything that you made of it. And I think the nice part for the Wizards is they kind of just gave him free rein to play. And he could shoot threes if he wanted to. He could try to get downhill. He kind of do all those things. But really the big thing for me is you saw defensively he can be that impact guy. It's whether he can develop that offensive game. And on top of that, he's just got to get stronger. He's got to play a little more physical. I think when he's allowed to roam a little more freely, he's better. So I would have been interested, and at least something we were talking about out here when the draft was coming up was, you know, Maluach was on the board. And I don't know if that was ever really a true possibility because they need to score. So they obviously went with Trey Johnson. But if you could get a true five where he can be the guy that kind of roams the floor a little bit on the defensive end and doesn't have to play inside at all on the offensive end, I think that's where he's better. But I've been impressed with him. I think he's someone that showed real promise and someone that you feel like you can build around. So I don't think Wizards fans are all that disappointed with what they saw his rookie season.
Toby, great stuff. Appreciate you as always. We'll catch on 106.7 The Fan in D.C. We'll talk soon.
Appreciate it, man.
All right, that is Toby Alex. They're giving the skinny on Washington.